Today we'd like to take some time to look at the life of Abraham. As I was thinking of Father's Day today, I was reviewing in my mind the one of the greatest influences of the whole world. It was a father. One man. And it reminded me of the influence, the importance of fathers. And so on this Father's Day, I trust that we would be encouraged as to the significant role that we have of being an influence in this world for God and for our family. We think about Abraham. We read a little bit about Abraham today. And I'd like to just to think of Abraham as an example of the influence of a father. So we think of Abraham, a number of things that we could say, but we could say that his influence was an influence that certainly affected a huge multitude of people. The huge influence, the unbelievable great influence of a father as reflected by Abraham. Now, the Bible made it very clear as God dealt with Abraham that he would be a man of influence. Of course, we know that Matthew 1:1, the key verse of Matthew, Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David. That Abraham was to be of the line of the Messiah. And that he would his influence was going to be felt all over the world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be out of his of descendants. But I think Abraham is a good example of the influence of a father. Now, as I thought about Abraham, I realized that today in this world there are 422 million Arabs. They're all descendants of Abraham. Today there are living 13 million Jews. Before World War II in 1939, there were 16 million Jews. After World War Two, there were about 10.5 million Jews. But we find that he had a physical his physical influence in this present world amount to about 440 million people just today. And that is 4,000 years after Abraham walked on this earth himself. His influence is continuing today. Now, we see some insights about the influence of a father. First of all, we see that the influence of a father goes beyond his lifetime. You know, the devil is really slick. He tries to make us think that our influence is only for now. But Abraham is a clear example in the Bible that the influence of a father is beyond his earthly lifetime. We see that his influence is not only beyond his lifetime, but we see that his influence is an influence for a multitude of people. It's an influence for a multitude of people. Now, there's a physical influence of Abraham. 440 million people just today. 4,000 years later. That is amazing, isn't it? But just think of all the millions between today and 4,000 years ago when Abraham existed. I couldn't figure out, know where you would find that statistic, but you imagine that the people that are on the face of this earth because of one man. And all the people who have lived because of one man. The devil would like us to think that our influence is only in our lifetime and only within our own consciousness. But Abraham's influence extended beyond his lifetime. And the Lord said many times that his descendants would be as the sands of the sea and as the stars of the sky. And so his influence. But you know, when you think about his spiritual influence, even today, they say, if we would take the word Christian as in a broad sense today on the face of the earth, there are 2.2 billion Christians. On the face of the earth today, there are 1.6 billion Muslims. We see that there are 3.8, almost 4 billion people on the face of this earth that have been influenced by Abraham spiritually. So 440 million people physically alive today, result of one man. I don't know how you could calculate the billions of people that have come through his loins. But we see the influence of almost 4 billion people, influence, under the influence, spiritual influence, in some shape or form, of Abraham. Because through him, the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And certainly, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4 that every person that is saved can count their father Abraham as an example of their faith. Now, we also see about the influence of a father. Not only is it beyond our lifetime, not only is it a multitude that is really beyond our comprehension, a multitude of people, a multitude of influence. But that influence now for Abraham was for both good and evil. That influence was for both good and evil. And we know that Abram, we read even one today, that Abram was a man that had failures. And even those failures have had a continuing influence. And so his son Ishmael, the father of the Arab nations, and really the birthplace of the Islam religion. And the tool of Satan as an enemy of true Christianity. His influence has continued. His influence obviously continued for good, as the New Testament speaks of Abraham in glowing terms. Of the fact that Abraham was the father of us all. The father of us all. Had influence on all of us. Now, so let's stop there for a minute. One man, a father. What an influence. The multiplying influence of a father. Young men, the multiplying influence of a father. Think of it. You know, the world wants you to live for yourself. The world wants you to live for you. The world wants you to get the Western and maybe the European communist type of thinking. Live for you. God wants you to live for others. God wants you to live for the influence of Jesus Christ that you can have through your life. Through your life as a father. Unbelievable difference. Unbelievable influence. Can we grab a hold of that? Oh, the devil just wants to make us think about ourselves and right now. But the Bible is picturing the tremendous influence of a father that goes beyond their life, that goes on and on and on and on. The influence of a father. As you think about that, I like us to maybe see the central aspect of that influence. The central aspect of that influence. Now, I'd like to have us look at a few verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We've seen the aspects of his influence. I want us to see the central ingredient the central focus or possibility of that influence. 2 Timothy chapter 1, a verse that we all know, but I want to start here. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now, we think of the calling of Samuel. Of Abraham. I still have jet lag. I can blame everything on jet lag today. Okay? Think of the calling of Abraham. He was in Haran, and God called him. He was in the Ur of the Chaldees. God called him to a land that he was to go to. God called him to that land. We see today in the text how Abram is coming into the land and he's traveling through the land. And the Bible tells us, and he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Didn't find it. Not on this earth. But the focus, the central aspect of Abram's influence was that God had a call upon his life. And you know what? If you're saved, God has a call upon your life. And that's the most essential aspect of Abraham's influence, was God's plan, was God's call upon his life. You know, you think about that. You can talk about that a lot of different ways. But a young person, you think about it. If there's anything that the world wants to minimize today, that and it is this, the call of God upon your life. The devil wants you to make you think that it is insignificant, that you can treat it any way that you want. In fact, the modern world, the modern Christianity, tries to make that call something that's repulsive. Something that you want to avoid. Something that you don't want in your life. Something that you would call insignificant. Oh, no. How could one man, even today, 4 years after his death, still be a central influence in this world to the number of almost 4 billion people? And to almost 440 million living descendants. How could it be? Because he was called by God. That's why. He was called by God. And that was the central ingredient of his influence. His influence today, because he was called by God. Obviously, the Bible tells us he calls us according to his own purpose and grace. There is nothing in us that makes us worthy of this calling. But it is God who has a plan and has a purpose and has a call upon our lives. What a delight in that. What an amazing, amazing thing. And the Bible tells us that every person who is saved, there is a God in heaven who has a call upon their life. And the devil wants to minimize that. The devil wants you to live for this world. The devil wants you to live for right now. The devil wants you to live for the pleasures of this world. The devil wants you to live for just for you and maybe your little family and to live your little life. God has a big call. His call goes beyond our lifetime. Our call, that call goes beyond our own comprehension. And it's hard to comprehend that God told Abraham, you know, your descendants are going to be as the sands of the sea and as the stars of heaven in number. And heaven will give that as a true record. But God had a plan for him. That was a central part of his influence. If there's anything you and I need to value in life, is God's call upon our life. That's the central focus of our influence. And that influence is beyond our comprehension. God's call. So don't listen to the scoffers who make light of God's call. Don't listen to the fools who say your life is for you and for pleasure. Don't listen to the simple who just don't get it at all. There's a call of God. And in Abraham, we see the greatness of that call. It made his influence indescribably great, immeasurably great, far beyond his own lifetime. What does God have for you, Dad? Are you conscious of his call upon your life? But I want us now to think of the ingredients of that influence. What made him influential? Why? What was combined was the call of God that did it all. Let's turn to Genesis 22. You know, we were studying in getting back to the call of God. We're studying Genesis, memorizing the book of Jude, and it talked about the gainsaying of Korah. And you know, Korah, you know what his big problem was? Korah was a secularist. He was not a spiritual man. He didn't understand the call of God. And he says, Moses, you've taken too much upon you. We're just like you. We're Levites as well. We can take that role that you have. We can worship, lead in worship just like you. And Moses says, you don't understand. I didn't decide this. God did. God called me. And we live in a world, people don't understand the call of God. What do you do with that call? Notice, in Genesis 22, we have the testing of Abraham. Verse 2, he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. And of course we know Isaac obeyed. And God provided the ram and all of those things. And notice what the Lord said to Abram after he passed the test. Verse 16. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand upon which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. You know the ingredients. Obedience. Obedience. Now, yes, there was the spiritual, there was the invisible, there was a sovereign, the call of God. But there's a human side. There's always a human side. And the human side that multiplies the influence, that makes it go beyond our lifetime. What is it? Obedience. Obedience. What are the ingredients? The human ingredients that match that call. Faith. Hebrews 11. We read, obviously, of the great truth of Abraham, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city whose hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Faith. What's the special ingredients of this faith? It was a faith of the invisible. I've said many times, faith is a faith that many times is not seen till 20 years later. And I say that because that's about how long it takes to raise up a child, 20 years. It takes faith to obey God and to do right against the world's opinion and the carnal Christian's opinion and the scoffer's opinion and the worldling's opinion. And 20 years later, you see the results. But for 20 years in the lives of the carnal Christian, you're a fool. For 20 years, you're the person's wasting your life. For 20 years, you're laughed at because you're investing your life in God. But you know, faith has eyes that go 20 years ahead, 30 years ahead, 40 years ahead. Faith is a man of faith. So he went into country not knowing whether he went. He obeyed. God didn't have it all laid out for him. God didn't have it all analyzed for him. God didn't have it in a formula for him. Say, now, boom, 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 you know, blah, blah, blah. And this is how it's going to work. Nope. Faith. A man of faith. Man of obedience. A man of worship. You know, Abraham was a man of worship. One thing that obviously characterizes Abraham are the altars that he built. And we recognize multitude of times in his life, what did he do? He built altars. He goes into the land. Genesis 13, verse 8, he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east side of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai in the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. You know, throughout the life of Abram, what was he doing? He's building altars. Building altars. Why? Because he was a man of worship. If I think of the difference between King Saul and King David, one of the things that I would say that was the difference between those two men was that David was a man of worship. David was a man of public worship. You know, people today, they say, I can worship God in the woods. Well, not very well. Not according to the Bible. Especially on the Lord's Day. But you know, Abram was a man of worship. And you know, when Abram made a mistake, and he made some important, serious mistakes, but after those mistakes, what did he do? He got back to the land, and he built an altar. I think that's significant truth. You know, we all make big mistakes. We all have big failures. But what do you do with that failure? Abram was a man of influence because he was a man of worship. He was a man of public worship. Obviously, the altars of Abraham were a combination of private worship and public worship. But it spoke of his relationship with God. Like we said in Sunday school, it spoke of his reverence and the concept of reverence and his fear of the Lord and his duty to the Lord. And it came out in public worship. Amazing. I hope you think about that. You know, we live in a day in which public worship is so downplayed and so boo-hooed and so minimized. This is a word of encouragement to us. Think of four simple ingredients of Abram's life here. Well, we're going to get to another one. Responsibility. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18, verse 19. And, of course, the context is the angel of Jehovah, the pre-incarnate Christ, has told Abraham that Sarah is going to have a child, and this child is going to be the heir, and it's going to be the seed of the Messiah. And after that announcement, the two angels that came with him go to Sodom and Gomorrah and to announce the judgment and destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord says, should I tell Abraham what I'm going to do or not? Should I going to share with him this spiritual insight? And they say, well, I think I can give him this spiritual truth. I think he can handle it. And he gives a reason why he could share the spiritual truth with them, and that he could handle it. And it's found in verse 19. And it gives us insight into Abram. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Notice the key ingredient here was responsibility. Responsibility. Here is a man that will take seriously his responsibility. He has a responsibility to train his children, to train his household, to worship and serve God correctly. And he takes it. It takes such a great response to this. He says, I know him. I can trust him. I can trust him spiritually. Because he has taken responsibility. You know, responsibility is the idea that, you know, there's someone bigger than me, and he's entrusted with me with something, and I need to take it serious. I'm not living this life for me. There's someone who's given me a responsibility, and I need to do it for him. And the people he's entrusted with me, that's serious. What's he saying? Those who take their spiritual influence seriously will have spiritual influence. Those who take their spiritual influence seriously will have spiritual influence. You know, Abraham can be encouragement to us. Because he was a man of like passions like as we, he failed. And he had his own failures. And he had to deal with his failures. But he overcame his failures. Abraham is a man. It reminds us of the grace of God. God's calling on Abram was far bigger than him. I'm sure that Abram had a hard time figuring out, how are my seed going to be as the stars of the heaven And in his lifetime, in the line that the Lord was talking about, there's only one. You know, God has a bigger plan than you and I. I don't think any of us can comprehend what it is. And dads, God has a plan for you. He's called you. Let's not minimize the significance of that call. You know, when we get saved, He calls us according to His purpose. I don't need to remind you again, I already have, but you know, Satan wants to minimize that call. He wants to minimize the importance of your life and the influence that you can have, which will go beyond your children and will go beyond your life. But we need to have that thinking so we understand the importance of our influence. That might well be the very thing today that helps us get a little bit more serious about life. It very might well be the thing that will just cause us to get a sense of the things of God that we will maybe turn from some things that could destroy our life, could destroy our future. Perhaps it will encourage us as we go on in life, instead of getting weary and getting tired and just kind of getting lax, we will say, whoa, boy, here, I better shape up. My influence isn't waning when as I end my life. My influence goes on. What a privilege, men, you have to be a father. Young men, what a wonderful possibility you have ahead of you to be a father. Think of it the way God thinks of it. I admit, sometimes the responsibility of children was more than I could seemingly bear. Think of God's plan. Don't think like the world. Think the way God thinks. Think of the great influence of a father. The great possibilities. The good things that can come. That will be beyond our own lifetime. Might you be encouraged today to keep up the good fight? Might you be encouraged today to renew and rededicate yourself to the task? Might you as a young person get a better vision of God's plan for your life? And get a better hold of the importance that if God has called you, and He has, if you're saved, you're called. You may not know what you're called to, but let me tell you, you're called. And everything you're called to is important. And if you're saved and you're here, you've probably been called to the work of this New Testament church. And that's probably a lot bigger than you know as well. Abraham. Amazing picture of the influence of one man. Amazing. And it was because of God's call and His willingness to respond correctly to God's plan for his life. And it goes on and on and on. It will go on and on and on. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the precious truth of your word. We thank you for the precious privilege that we have through your word to get the right view of life. Lord, we thank you for that precious reality that the truth can set us free. And Lord, we're humbled. We know we're not worthy. And we know enough about Abraham to know that he wasn't worthy. But Lord, we know that in your mercy and grace, you have a call upon our life. And that call is far bigger than us. Lord, encourage the men that are here today to give their life for the influence of God. Encourage the fathers not to give up, not to quit, not to think that the end of the line has come or it's too late. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'd encourage fathers through these truths. And I pray for young men. Lord, we need a new generation of young men that understand the great influence beyond our lifetime of fathers who will take seriously the call of God and be the kind of men that we can be through your salvation and through your grace. To have an influence, to be an influence, to give ourselves to be the greatest influence that we possibly can in your plan. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the Lord is speaking to your heart today. Maybe you forgot. Maybe you never thought about. God has called you to a role of influence. And I trust today you've gotten a renewed vision of the greatness of that. And just by an uplifted hand, you'd say, you know, the Lord has spoken my heart today. About rededicating my life by obedience, by faith, by worship, by leadership, to be an influence on my family for God. An influence you will never regret. And just went up, lifted a hand, say, yes, Pastor, the Lord has spoken my heart today. And I've let the Lord have his way in my life. I made a decision as God spoke to my heart today, or even right now you have. And just by an uplifted hand, you'd indicate that decision to be the influence that you ought to be for God. Okay? Amen. Number of different hands. Amen. Obviously, this is not just merely for men. God has spoken to your heart. God has spoken to my heart about being that influence that I need to be. For his kingdom, for him. Okay? Amen. Others? I know it takes a little bit of time to digest all of this. Amen. God has been speaking to your heart today. Lord, I'm sure that you have great things that you want to do. We thank you for those who have sensed that today, been able to process all of that and submit to you. And Lord, for many, I'm sure there's still a process going on. Help but not to be lost when we leave these doors. But might, Lord, your Spirit continue to work. Bless these, Lord, as we think of your mercy and grace. Help us to get up and trust you and to lean upon you and to be all that we can to influence the souls around us for you. We pray in Jesus' name.